Go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter. We want to start looking at some lessons concerning the Word. Concerning the Word. And I hope you read the daily reading. I'm going to read it because it talks about the Word. And Psalms 19, 7 through 14. Psalms 19 and 7 says, "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy." That's quite a statement. And at this day and time, people being trustworthy is questionable. You know, you used to be able to shake hands, and that was binding enough. That was good enough. But not anymore. But this particular, let me just go ahead and read this for you. It says, "Grasping God's Word." Grasping God's Word is the title. And it says, "A rugged cast iron ring stood strong against the harsh Minnesota winter as it hung on the door frame of my great uncle's old farmhouse. More than 100 feet away was another ring firmly affixed to the dairy barn. When there was a blizzard, my uncle would attach a line between both rings so he could find the path between the house and the barn, keeping a firm grip on the line, keeping him from losing his way in the blinding snow." So whether rain, sleet, or hail, or whatever, the cows needed to be milked, correct? You had to milk the cows, so the winters could be very bad there. So he attached this line between his house, and then he could find his way to the barn. My uncle used this safety line in snowstorm reminds me of how David used lines of Hebrew poetry to trace how God's wisdom guides us through life and guards us against sin and error. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. And there's so much truth in those passages there. A firm grasp of the truths of Scripture, informed by God's Spirit working in our hearts, keeps us from losing our way and helps us make decisions that honor God and others. The Bible warns us against wandering from God and shows us the way home. It tells us of the priceless love of our Savior and the blessings that await all who place their faith in Him. Scripture is a lifeline. May God help us cling to it always. And that's so true. I fear that we do not realize the full potential of God's Word. So we want to look at the Word. We just in some different ways. And I'll try to be quick. I won't keep you like I did last Wednesday, good Lord willing. But here in Philippians, the 4th chapter, we want to read just one verse. Now we'll be looking at other verses, but we just want to read this. The Word. You and I, as Christians, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to be confident and fully persuaded of God and His Word. Fully. Completely. Now, we notice in Philippians, the 4th chapter. Again, I've got these printed out so I can go really quick. Verse 9 of the 4th chapter, he says, "Those things," and this is Paul talking to the church, he says, "those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Do. And if you do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Shall be with you. To receive the Word. First of all, we have to receive the Word. Take the Word, or simply to surrender to it. You know, it's one thing to know it, but to take it, to surrender to it. In the Greek, to receive, Greek means to receive near, associate with oneself. Not just to learn it. You and I can learn. A lost person can learn the scriptures. And we can all achieve a great knowledge of the scriptures in our minds. But does that learning profit us? First, we have to learn. What did it say? Those things which you have both learned. That's the past tense. They had learned, or they had understood. Understood those things. Well, one question let me ask you. Well, where do you learn? Where do you learn? You can answer. At the church. You learn the word at the church. The book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25 says, we all know this particular verse, says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembly together. Church is a very vital part to where we can learn God's word. Very important. This is where we come to that we may learn. What else? What does it say about the church in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter and verse 18? In the great commission that Jesus gave his church, it was, notice what it said, and most people forget about verse 20, but it's very much in part important also to the rest of it. It says, all power, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. And then what? Which is a very important part. Verse 20 tells us, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The teaching is a commandment that Jesus gave to his church to do. And this is where we learn. We come here to learn God's word, to learn it. Not only here, but what do we see in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 2, particular verse that we know. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, notice what it says. It says, as newborn babes. I think there's a false misconception today. People think, well, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I don't need to learn all that, do I? Yeah, you do. It doesn't say, it says, as newborn babes, and as we have become a Christian, we're considered babes in Christ, there should be a desire for the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because it helps us to grow. And we never stop growing. It's a continual process until the Lord comes back. We will continue to grow. If we're getting the word. That's the key. The sincere milk of the word is what makes us grow. So we get the milk, the sincere milk of the word. We get it in church. We get it in also personal study. That's for everybody. That's not just teachers, preachers, pastors, etc. That's every Christian, that they may grow, they should desire the sincere milk of the word. Personal study. That's a hard one, isn't it? That Satan has got us so busy anymore that personal study is very hard to come by. Prayer time is very hard to come by. But as our pastor says, you have time for what you want to do. So you have to make that a priority in our lives, that Bible study, prayer time, is necessary each and every day. We need to do that. And what do we need to do? In the book of James 1, it tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need to ask. You say, well, I can't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Have you asked God to help you to understand it? There's a lot of books out there today, a lot of study guides, Eastward, and all the different things that you can get. And you can look at what somebody else thinks about that subject or that particular verse and helps us to gain a better understanding. There's a lot of tools out there today for us, a lot of tools. And we ask the Lord to give us wisdom. Ask Him to do that. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. But notice what it said. For everyone that asks. You have to ask. You just don't sit there and God pours it in. You ask, and then you diligently search the Scriptures and look at the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and preferably look at the Scriptures, and you ask for understanding. You seek, you knock. See, those are all actions that we have to do to attain the wisdom that God can give us. So first, we have to learn. We have to learn it. We have to put forth the effort to learn it. We do that. And then what did he say? He said, those things which you both learned and received. Received. Take in personally. You take that in personally. You have a relationship with God the Father. We are His children. And you know He wants to teach us everything that is proper and right and everything about His Word. It's not on Him, but it's on us to seek, knock, and do so forth, want it. So we take it in personally. We do that. We take that in personally. Well, how do we receive it? How do we receive that? Look at 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, I want you to notice the conduct, first of all. It says, for yourselves, brethren, know our interest in and to you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For do you remember, brethren, our labor and travail? For we labored night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. And you are witness, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So you can see how their character is, their conduct is before this church. And I tell you, it makes it a whole lot easier to accept things when you got people with this kind of conduct delivering that to you. Verse 11 says, and as you know how we exhort, confronted, and charge every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Now notice what this says. For this cause Also, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because, and this is how you need to receive the word, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. As they presented their lifestyle, first of all, was a lifestyle that was commendable, and it was easy for them to listen to these people. They come in there with their hats in their hands, so to speak, and they preached unto them the gospel, and they received the word not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God. So that's very important. It's very important that we learn, and then it's very important that we receive it, or we take it in. It is something that each and every one of us has to do personally. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. You have to do that personally. So that requires a little effort on your part. Now, yes, you come to church, you're sitting here, and you're listening to me to talk tonight, to teach, but you need that also yourself each and every day of your life to help to, what, grow in the Lord. So we need to receive it. Now, first of all, before we can receive it, now let me just make one more statement. James 1 and 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We need to ask for understanding, wisdom of God's word, but we need to do it not wavering, not doubting, not thinking it not important, but do it asking in faith. He's told us that he will give us to us, so we ask in faith. Salvation is the greatest thing that, first of all, we need to learn and receive. And we know 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1 through 3, it tells us that, well, let me just read it, because it uses this word received. You got to receive it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. They not only heard the gospel from Paul, but they also received it. They took it in. They made it personal to themselves, each and every individual, and wherein they stood. And of course, then it tells you the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what they believed. They received it. They took it in. In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what did the verse say? Those things, Philippians 4:9, those things which you both learned it, and received. And they received it. They gave, or they heard it. They gave audience unto it. They had an example of Paul himself. Now they knew Saul of Tarsus. And who was Saul of Tarsus? Well, he was a persecutor of the churches. They all knew about him, how he would go about and take people in chains and so forth. And they knew this Saul, but now this person was changed totally. And that was just a miraculous thing that God did. God did. He saved Saul of Tarsus. So as they could see Paul as an example that he had heard and he also had received, well, he gave audience to it and it changed him. And it can also change them also. So if Paul, Saul of Tarsus, could do it, they could do it also. So they heard, or they gave audience to it. As Elisha seen the life of Elijah, and Elijah asked him what he wanted, what did Elisha want? A double portion of his spirit. That influence of his, Elijah's life, was so evident in Elisha's life. It's hard to keep them straight, isn't it? That he wanted a double portion of it. So he learned it. You receive it. And then what does it say? Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, they seen his life. They seen Saul of Tarsus, and then they seen Paul. And then to do what? Do it. To do it. To practice it. To do it. As you have Jordan there, she went to school. She learned a lot of things about how to be a teacher. Now what does she do? Now that knowledge was great for her to have, but now what does she need to do? She needs to do it. She needs to use it. The same with any job that you may have that had to go to school. Be an apprenticeship in the electricians, carpenters, whatever it may be. That knowledge that you gained doesn't profit you if you don't use it. So he says, do or practice. Ephesians, the second chapter. Not very much longer. Ephesians, the second chapter. So you have to ask yourself, does learning profit by itself? Ephesians, the second chapter, verses that we're all familiar with. And again, the last part we usually don't even quote, but is very important. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gospel. You're saved. It's a gift of God. It's a gift from God. Verse 10 then. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's God's plan for us to not only learn the word, receive the word, but also to do the word. It's his plan for us to do that. That's the best plan. His plans are never wrong. Our plans are hindered by time, space, and whatever, our old human flesh. But his plan is always proper and right. And we need to seek to do those. The book of James, the first chapter, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and servility of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Save your souls, you become a child of God. And then after that, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was. Doers of the word. We learn it, we receive it, we take it in, and then we do it. That's God's plan. That's his plan. That's the best plan. What else? 1 John, the second chapter, just a couple more. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 3 says, and hereby we know that we know him. How do we know him? If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, how? Even as he walked, even as Christ walked. Man, that's quite the example. But that's what we strive to do as Christians. We hear it, the word. We receive it. We take it in. We've heard it. We gave audience to it. And now we strive by the aid of the Holy Spirit to do it. You notice what I said? Strive by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Each and every believer has the Holy Spirit. And that's what helps us to do the things that God wants us to do. So then we have to what? We have to rely on God and His Spirit. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. We seek the aid of the Holy Spirit each and every day to reveal His Word to us, to help us to apply it in our lives. And then lastly, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now that's something, is it not? We'll be with you. If you're in sin, you're out of fellowship, then you're not with God. God's not with you. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." God working in us. We leaning upon Him. We leaning upon His Word. We know it's right, it's proper. And if we do this, the world might say you're crazy, you're a nut. But that doesn't matter. Because the only thing that matters is what God thinks. And His thinking is always in line with His Word. So we learn it as those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. They've seen it in Paul's life, the transformation from Saul of Tarsus to Paul now. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, we're going to close with that.